it's Monday, June 15th, 2015, and E3 is started. With me today is our associate editor, News Hound, and I forgot what I was going to drop on that one. Fine, this introduction's already failed. With me today, Donald Terrio.
Hello.
I screwed up your introduction, I'm sorry.
That's fine.
Also with us today is Nintendo World Report Community Manager. I'm not going to try to do a funny introduction, because I'll screw that one up too. JP Corbin.
Hey, everybody.
I did a good job. So today primarily has been the events of Microsoft, Ubisoft, and EA. It's actually happening right now, but we're not watching it, I hope.
It actually starts at the top of the hour, but that one could be a potential gong show, but it's beyond our purview at this point.
Yes. We're actually going to talk about this, all the stuff Nintendo did instead at the start, or even before the start of E3, with events such as, you know, the Smash Brothers Direct that they had on Sunday, the Nintendo World Championship, today's announcements. We're just going to try to cover the stuff that is relevant to our listeners and have it cleared out before their big event on Tuesday starts in earnest. Tomorrow. Their big event tomorrow in like 12 hours. So, gentlemen, let's just go in chronological order. So I believe the first thing that happened, well, actually let's dial it back. Before any of this happened, we had a leak. We had a news leak. Nintendo sprung a news leak. A lot of news leaks, actually. But the one that they sprung in particular, thanks to Koei Tecmo and their inability to use YouTube, is the 3DS port of Hyrule Warriors. All three of us have played Hyrule Warriors, correct?
I haven't played a ton of it, but I've played some.
It was in my top five last year, yes.
All right, I'm going to guess that, Donald, you're fairly excited about a 3DS Hyrule Warriors.
Absolutely. I haven't had much of a chance to play it, honestly, on the Wii U since this year started, even though I bought the season pass for it with the last of my deluxe digital money. So a chance to actually play that portably and have it basically get all of that content in one shot. I'm really excited for it. I just can't wait for it to actually be announced officially.
I played Hyrule Warriors a while ago. I don't remember a whole heck of a lot about it because it is kind of the junk food of video games. You know, you play it and you're like, all right, cool. At least to me. Like, did it look right for you?
It looked like you would expect a Musou game on the 3DS to work. Like, you're not going to have 300 monsters on the screen at once that you're trying to kill. They got to be doing something to have the ability to swap characters on the fly, though. I did notice that much.
Yeah, and it's our understanding that they've cut experience. JP, you've played a little bit of the game. Like, did you enjoy what you played, or were you just kind of like, oh, this is Dynasty Warriors?
I enjoyed it. I mean, I think people who are familiar with me on the forums want to know that I buy too many games. So it's one of those, I have it sitting here, I've played some of it, but I've drifted into other things. But, I might be interested in this. I do tend to prefer playing on handheld, so I might just pick this up, especially with the added content.
We've got our news person here. Have they said anything about new 3DS? They haven't said anything about this, really. But has anything regarding new 3DS versus 3DS 3DS leaked out on this game?
So far, we know that it will work on the original members of the 3DS family. The box art that they showed for transferring the Wind Waker content to the Wii U version had the old 3DS badging on it. I'm assuming that there'll probably be something under the hood where the new 3DS will probably have a little bit more power with it, because they did show the game being played on the new system.
But at the very least, slowdown will be mitigated somewhat.
Right. So this will probably be a codename Steam post-patch situation where you'll get most of the game on the regular system, but the newer version will just do it better. Like the new 3DS will do it better than what you'd see on a 2DS, for instance.
And one little piece of news you slipped in there was the display of like super Wind Waker style graphic characters from Wind Waker coming into this world and making no sense whatsoever.
Right, like you have the King of Red Lions who actually summons water to wipe out his opponents.
He turns into a boat.
Yeah.
One of his attacks is to turn into a boat.
I was wondering how that was going. I was wondering, is he just going to be a boat riding around on the land, or how is this going to go?
One of his special attacks turns him into a boat. It's in the trailer. It's bonkers. Is there anything we want to talk about this game beyond that? There is the rumor that the female Link, or the sisterly Link character that was in the initial design spec for Hyrule Warriors on Wii U might make an appearance based on like a really quick shot of the game. I mean, we don't have anything to go on besides that at the moment. They did sort of design spec it for the initial game and ultimately cut it as content. I think it's in an art book or something, and that's how people became aware of it. But Beyond that, is there anything else you want to talk about it?
I can't think of anything in particular, no.
I just dread the internet reaction if this didn't leak out and then the Zelda logo hit in the digital event tomorrow. Oh my god. Oh god, Zelda Wii U is coming. Wait, it's
nope.
3DS yes. game and it's Hyrule Warriors. Boo.
It's going to happen. So what's the prediction right now? Tomorrow morning, you're going to see a big Metroid logo on screen. Guess what? It's Metroid Prime Pinball 2.
Well, about that. So I kind of want to cut straight to that, but let's keep in chronological order.
Okay.
Up next, we have the Smash Digital Nintendo Direct, which also leaked out ahead of time. They had announced they were going to do Nintendo Direct Sunday morning, and that it was going to and that the DLC for Lucas was going to come out, and then there was something else too, wasn't there?
Lucas and I don't recall at this point. It's been
The Miiverse stage.
Yeah.
So, that they did cover that, but we all kind of knew, based on the fact they booked 20 minutes, they didn't need 20 minutes to cover that. And as the leak came out later, because Nintendo accidentally, in Japan, accidentally released the patch that contained all the new data on Saturday, it had, in fact, Roy and Ryu from Street Fighter, as well as a couple extra stages and a ton of costumes for your Mii. But we didn't really have much detail beyond that. We just sort of knew the items and sort of proceeded accordingly until the Direct happened. And then we got to actually see it in action. So, JP, I mean, what was your thoughts on the Direct? Like, at a high level, you can boil down to whatever you want to talk about.
Well, I mean, I think, we did know a lot of this going in. I mean, Roy and Ryu were... I mean, they were rumored for a while, and then you had the leak with all the data. But what excited me and what I hadn't seen leaked, I don't know if it was when I missed it, is the new stages, or rather the old stages, the N64 stages that they're bringing as DLC, which is the really exciting thing to me. I think the game had enough characters, but bringing in more stages like that is a really nice addition.
The Yoshi stage is an 8-character stage, too, I think. Which is, there's no way that stage is going to be able to handle 8 characters. It's not built for it. So it's going to be just dumb chaos, which makes me so happy.
That's what personally. Smash Brothers is.
Yes, exactly. All right, Donald. What jumped out to you from the Direct?
I think the fact that all of that stuff was coming out the same day, because I honestly thought that, you know, we have Lucas coming out today, we've got Miiverse coming out today. If they're going to do anything else, they're probably going to hold it back a few weeks in order to stop the eShop from collapsing on itself, which, well...
It did.
It took me about an hour to find out what the prices were in Canada for this stuff because, well, the eShop kept crashing on me. As far as the characters go, because I haven't had a chance to download them and play with them yet just because I can't afford it right now, I'm kind of hyped to play as Lucas just because I'm an old mother fan, but the fact that Ryu plays... You can play Ryu exactly the way you would in Street Fighter, right down to the command motions... That is way too much attention to detail for a DLC character.
The fact that he's got multiple final smashes based on stage position, or that they found ways to get light, heavy, light, medium, and heavy attacks for both high and low in on a 2-button input combat game. It's like the amount of effort they put into that character is really impressive.
Right. I mean, like Smash Brothers, it really in general is all about like attention to detail. There's so much of that in the game, and it's nice to see that coming through even in the DLC.
I mean, I would argue that the degree of detail in that is, like, blows away anything they've done before. Like, just
the kind of character they're bringing in is fairly unprecedented. But yeah, it's really impressive what they did.
Like, they had to rejigger parts of the game that just didn't support what they wanted to do. Like, there's no mechanism for supporting multiple attacks on a single button input in that game, or 3 attacks. So they had to kind of figure out how to make that work.
And I think it's a good sign that they're willing to do that, because I wasn't sure we were going to get a ton of, like, really interesting things as DLC. I figured we were going to get a lot of, like, what we already saw with Lucas and Roy, where you're getting guys who were there before, nothing really new. Mewtwo, right. And I think this makes me more optimistic for what we're going to see going forward.
Yeah, I think all those crazy suggestions that we stuffed the ballot box with, I don't think they matter, but I think now that the crazy crap that we put in there is a little bit less crazy. Like, because there's... It seems like they're willing to bite off a big challenge when creating a new character. Even the fact that they went and tracked down Yoko Shimomura to do a remix of Ryu Stage when she's the original composer 20 plus years ago of that song, and they found the original Street Fighter artist to do a concept art for them replacing all the Street Fighter characters with Smash Brothers characters. Like, that's I mean, unnecessary, ultimately. They didn't need to do that, but they did, and I'm happy they did.
Yeah.
Like, that's really cool of them.
That art was absolutely amazing.
It is amazing. I was excited to see the Tekken costume. That was just so pointlessly stupid, that Heihachi costume, because it's just, why? Why is this here? Oh, because you guys are making really nice with Katsuhiro Harada. Okay. Like, it's the dumbest Mii costume yet. Except for, what was it? The skinned alive Isabel.
Ugh.
It's just really haunting.
Yeah, I don't play as the Mii, unlike in Mario Kart, where I play as Mega Man now, but... So I'm not buying any of these costumes, but I do want to get these characters as soon as I can.
I bought all three characters in the stage, but I didn't bite on the Mii costumes.
I do want to get the Isabel one, just to be haunting. But the one thing that I heard some people complaining about is that there's no bundle that's just the characters. Like, the only way you can get a bundle is if you get the costumes with it. I'm not particularly worried about it, because I think the prices on the characters have been mostly fair. I understand why Ryu's more expensive. They got to cut that. You know, Capcom's got to get its beak wet a little bit.
And Ryu comes with a stage.
Yeah, and he comes with a stage. So, I get it. But I can understand, you know, hey, why can't there be a bundle of the three characters and knock a dollar or two off the price of the game? Mm-hmm. Of the price of the whole package. In the end, you end up spending, if you bought all three of them, what, about 12, 13 bucks? Because it's 4-4-6 or 5-5-6?
5-5-6 if you're getting both. Or I think 5-5-7 if you're getting both versions of it.
Okay, if you're just getting one, it's 4-4-6, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's not cheap. But, you know, the attention to detail in these characters is very nice.
Yeah, I think I'm looking at 6-6-8 for mine. Thanks, Harper.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'd heard about that. The prices in Canada for the DLC have gone up fairly out of lockstep with, you know, their North American neighbors.
Right. The full bundle, I think, for both versions is about $30 US. It's $37 in Canada plus tax.
God.
I need a season pass for this game desperately.
I do wonder if they'll ever add one. Like, once they're done, or if they'll do some kind of weird, like, repackage or bundle. I don't think they will. But, I don't know. Like, what do you guys think?
Well, if you look on the store right now, I mean, you have the bundle with the characters and the Mii costumes is bundle number two, with the first one being the previous Mii costumes and Mewtwo. So I imagine they'll just continue adding bundles as they add content to the game.
Hmm. Yeah. It seems like they're bundling stuff in release windows. Do we think they're going to do another big dump like that? I mean, another big drop of content like this?
But
I think they could try to filter out a little bit better next time. Like, this might have been just pre-E3 hype.
Yeah, because the poll closes in October, so I think at that point you're probably going to see Wolf and maybe one or two characters from the poll.
Yeah, and I mean, you look at Nintendo's history with DLC, like with Mario Kart, they tend to favor, like, you know, large chunks of content and then a break and then another large chunk. So I think seeing something like this with another three characters and maybe some more costumes is in a couple of months is probably the way it's going to be.
Yeah.
That's fine.
I think the biggest thing that they're adding, though, that is probably going to be free because it's coming in an update, is the ability to upload matches to YouTube so you don't lose your replays every time update the game.
Yeah, that's a nice little feature that probably should have been there a while ago, but I'm glad it's there. You could do the same thing in Mario Kart, can't you?
Yeah.
Mario Kart TV.
Exactly.
So, whereas most of the platform holders sort of built this into the system's firmware, Nintendo's doing it on a case-by-case basis, which, I mean, it's something.
I mean, it's really not. I mean, they can't go back and add it now, so.
No, they can't.
But,
This is the best they can do.
This is their make-good.
Yeah, and of course, we've notified Scott Thompson for if we do a Season 2 of the Smash Brothers tournament.
Yep. It does make things a little bit more convenient for us. I mean, granted, when they added sharing, we could have just sent him the replay, and he could have just played it back into his capture device, which also works. I'm excited to go get back into Smash Brothers and try out the new content myself, and curious to see if that Battlefield and Mega Stage is no longer a buggy mess that causes the AI to stand there and take damage. So, moving on to Sunday evening, the Nintendo World Championships 2015 was... certainly an odd thing.
Yeah, that was. I wasn't quite expecting that. I didn't, you know.
I
didn't expect it to be as big a deal and to go as smoothly as it did.
I think the biggest surprise for me out of that one, though, was in the pregame show when Shigesato Itoi shows up and says, "Oh, by the way, we're putting Mother out on the virtual console tonight."
The original one, now called Earthbound Earthbound Beginnings.
Yep.
Which means if they do Mother 3, it's going to be called Earthbound Endings, which is an appropriate name. So,
yeah,
I will say, if you guys are super hardcore Earthbound fans, even Earthbound fans think Mother 1 is kind of bad.
Yeah, I mean, I get to say that I wrote an article for Nintendo World Report announcing a Mother game. I can pretty much retire now, and I'm happy, but yeah.
This game
is just, wow. They had to go to the... Someone actually put out a retranslated plus rebalanced ROM of it. That's the only way I can really... I can stomach playing that game now, but I still bought it, and I'm still probably going to struggle through it again just because I hate myself.
Well, I mean, as long as you know.
Yeah.
I mean, the event overall, like, the production, the stage show, the showmanship of it, like how do you feel about it? Was it... Did both of you watch it?
I didn't watch the whole thing, but I watched, you know, parts of it. I was impressed. You know, I think Nintendo clearly knows how to put on a good show, and
yes.
And I think, you know, this was really impressive, the lengths they went to, the spectacle of it. I thought it was really fun.
I did watch the whole thing. The first couple of rounds, the Splatoon round and the Blast Ball, where they didn't really identify which player was which, made it hard to sort of tell what was going on.
Tough to follow.
Oh, and Blast Ball. Let's talk about that. That looks like Metroid Prime Hunters, doesn't it?
It kind of does. Actually, it looks interesting to me. I kind of would like to play that now, I think.
Yeah. What do we think that is? Do you think that's a mode in a game, or do you think that's a whole game like on the eShop, or what do we got?
I think it's an eShop game, I would say.
I think it's something along the lines of Steel Diver Subwars.
So freemium?
Free to play. You can enhance it for like $10.
Right, yeah. That seems about right.
To just describe it real quick for people who haven't seen it, because they haven't put out much press material for it since then, if any, really.
There's a trailer up on their YouTube, and I think that's the extent of it.
Yeah, so basically it's like, I mean, we're all from North America, so I can say it. It's soccer with robots, giant mechs that you ride in, and you shoot the ball with a laser cannon. And you can sort of stun each other. When you was it first to three?
First to three, and each time the team scores, the goal that they're shooting into actually shrinks.
Yeah, and so it's an attempt to balance, you know, to prevent just one team from just decimating the other, which didn't really work out in most of the Nintendo World Championship rounds because it was pretty one-sided for a bunch of them. But, I mean, it looks neat. I couldn't get over that the HUD looks that much like Metroid Prime Hunters.
Yeah, I mean, it certainly looks very inspired by it.
Yeah, I don't know who's making it, but I mean, I would lean towards NST.
NST makes the most sense. It does look a lot like that, and what the hell else are they doing?
March of the Minis?
They got another Mario versus Donkey
Kong
game.
Another Minis game.
They put two out this year.
Picross 9D.
They're up to
hot bangers.
Oh man, they're up to six of those now.
God.
No, but I want like Picross 3D. Yeah, you get like however many Picross. We need a 3D one though.
Yeah,
yeah. It wasn't a huge announcement or anything, which is why they really didn't even announce it that much.
They didn't really treat it like just like,
here's
this
thing.
You know what this is, right?
It's called Blast Ball. Screw it, let's go play. And that was kind of how it went. A lot of physics going on in there though, so I'll be curious how that thing performs. Not on new 3DSs, because, I mean, there was a lot of physics on the ball. And they even talked about the physics a little bit, which is one of the only things they talked about in the game. So, like I said, we'll probably find out a lot more about that tomorrow. You know, what it is, you know, the format it is, all that kind
of
stuff.
I do kind of wonder about something that happened during that part of the game, though, because somebody, I think, accidentally hit the home button on the system.
They did.
And it went to what looked like the Wii U menu.
No, so what happened is somebody hit the switcher.
Oh.
So they hopped over to the Wii U, which was sitting on the home menu. Because at one point they did that, they jumped over to the eShop. I'm like, there was some technical hiccups, to say the least.
Yeah, like any virtual console game, you find out just how sensitive that ZR button is, because it, I think 7 or 8 times during one of the elimination games, people kept bringing up the virtual console menu.
Yes.
Yeah. And that happens to me a lot when I'm playing virtual console on the Wii U, to the point that I go in and turn that off.
Let's continue on through this whole...
They probably should have considered that for this tournament.
Yeah, I mean, if you brush against the gamepad, too, it'll bring up that menu. Or it can. So that may have also been a culprit in play. Immediately after that, they did the last stage of Super Metroid, which is like, okay, we get it. This game looks like Metroid. You've made a point, Nintendo. And then they rolled on for a little bit until we got towards the last round, unless you guys want to talk about anything in the middle, but I really want to talk about now known as Super Mario Maker.
Yeah, just to mention that they'd paid off something from the Smash tournament last year, and Reggie got his butt handed to him by the Smash Brothers champion, like, I think it was 12-2.
Yeah, I'm sure Capcom is thrilled that Ryu got his shit kicked in by Jigglypuff. And it's like, thanks, Reggie. Thanks for doing that for us. Yeah, so Super Mario Maker. That was a really cool demo.
Yeah, I wasn't... And yet, honestly, I'm still not completely sold because I need to see how the level sharing works, but I'm a lot more excited about that game now that I've seen all that than I was before.
Yeah.
I am dreading playing those levels possibly on Wednesday at Best Buy, because if those are the levels they're sending down, I'm going to make a you-know-what of myself.
Oh, yeah. Everybody will, though. I like how much they ensured making sure the contestants didn't get to seed ahead of time. So they were just getting caught in just these merciless traps that are basically just, hey, this is a Goomba, but we made him giant. And also, he pops out of this thing once you think you're safe. There was one where you had to run away from a giant shell that you had caused flying at the stage. And then once you got in clearance, you thought, okay, everything's great. And then it hit a spring as it broke through the bricks and came back at you. And then once you cleared that, like, you got back under it and walked back under the bricks that it had just knocked out, two Goombas fell out of the pipes above you and killed you. It was just like, oh, bravo, Nintendo. That's a wonderful piece of artistry you've put together. Like, I was actually really impressed to see things like the shoe show up. But not just show up, but, like, you can modify it and make it a giant shoe.
And or you can put a stiletto.
Or a stiletto, and you can put Bowser's clown car in it and also have a fire flower at the same time. So the game is just stacking power-ups on top of each other and just sort of going, like, I don't know, this is how the stiletto should handle with Bowser's clown car and a Faria Mario in it. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, it's insanity. And it's just, you can, so many customization options. I think when I first saw the game, I don't know about anybody else, but I thought, I wonder how limited this is going to be. How much are they going to dumb it down? And I think it's clear now that they haven't. Like, this is a very complex and full-featured thing, and I'm very impressed.
Yeah, like, I mean, I played it last year at E3, and walked away impressed, but I understood that people who couldn't play it weren't going to be able to understand what made that thing work. There's a video on the site, it's a year old now, of me putting together a stage where I was able to track Mario's parabolic motion and just put the flying red Goombas, or the flying red Koopa Troopas, right where he needed to be to continue the flight, and then just completely erase the floor and just hand it over to TYP and said, have fun!
Yeah. Yeah. I actually watched that video earlier today.
It's so, yeah, funny.
It's a really good way to show off how the editor works.
But the stuff they've put in the game since then, it was a very limited palette then. The stuff they put in there now, unbelievable. I don't even know how you're going to demo it at like the Best Buy, because you need to keep that line moving. But the real fun of that game is going to be just creating levels and handing them off to somebody you know. And I know we did a Smash Brothers tournament on site. I want us to create just the biggest asshole Mario tournament for just creating levels that just make you a monster. Like, hey, just have an independent judging panel go, that level makes you some kind of terrorist. You win.
I can tell you, I would be much better at that than I was in the Smash Brothers tournament.
The NWR Kaizo Mario Brothers tournament.
Yeah, let's just be monsters to each other. I think it's a good way for us to enjoy each other's tears.
Yeah, I'm definitely on board for that.
Any other thoughts about the Nintendo World Championship besides the fact that the kid who won, that's probably getting a million phone calls from people like, I want to buy that trophy from you. How much money?
I think I know of one collector who is already DMing him on Twitter.
But, oh, for God's sake.
But the production, aside from the fact that they brought in the kid of one of the commentators for the Splatoon round.
That was terrible.
Other than that, they nailed it this year.
Yeah, no kids next time, Nintendo. Don't do that. Don't. That was awful.
They gotta get... No, next time the Nintendo World Championships are gonna be... The announcer's gonna be Pele.
Oh. No, please, no.
If I go to do one more E3 event with Pele at it, I swear. So, do we think they're going to do this again next year?
I don't see... They should. I mean, this was a lot of fun. I saw, on Twitter and whatnot, a lot of people, non-Nintendo-specific people, just general gaming media people who were really into it and really loving it. I think this is a great way to really show off, Nintendo.
I think next year, if they do it, the final game has to be something on the NX, whatever that is.
Maybe, but I don't know that anything will be ready at this point next year for the NX.
The issue. It's like you don't want to do all the same stuff over again, so you have to have the right crop of games to show off.
What I'd like to have seen them do, though, is go to a little bit deeper in the well, because most of the games you could predict were going to be there. I mean, we knew Splatoon was going to be there. They told us, but even if they hadn't told us, we would have known.
Yeah, of course.
We knew Smash was going to be there. I don't think they told us, though.
No, the only games they told us in advance were Legend of Zelda and Splatoon.
The original Legend of Zelda.
Yeah.
They even told us what dungeon, too, didn't they?
Yeah, they announced the challenge.
Like that needs to go away. Like, don't tell us what dungeon ahead of time.
Yeah, the problem is they were limited basically to whatever you could get on a Wii U and a 3DS.
See, and I think that's a mistake. I think they should embrace their history and say, look, we have a long history as a game company, and there is some shit you may not even realize exists. Hey, we're going to be doing Doshin the Giant 64DD version on here.
Or they could embrace their history by releasing all of that stuff on the virtual console between
and then. You are asking too much. I want to see them force people to get into Virtual Boy headsets for this thing. Because ultimately, a big part of that whole production is tied up in nostalgia. I mean, 95% of that production is an attempt to sort of recreate this really stupid thing that Nintendo did in the early 90s. And I think just sort of saying, okay, we're going to tie this up in nostalgia. Let's go ahead and let's own it. Let's make people come out here and play Rock and Roll Climber. Because people are going to come and say, people in the audience will go what the hell is this?
That was just pretty much when that was pretty much the reaction when they pulled Balloon Fight out.
But Balloon Fight's not even a deep cut. It's not a deep cut.
It's a deep cut because they keep throwing in at you at every chance they get.
Look, Iwata worked on that game. You're going to see a lot of it.
It's clear,
Yeah.
He's a big fan. It's clear.
Yeah, throw us something that's really disorienting. Like Cubivore, which I can't remember who I stole that from, but Cubivore would be a good one. Just stuff from their back catalog where you'd go, what? Yeah, of course. Why am I not playing Hope? Or why would I not be playing Yoshi's Safari right now with a big plastic Super Nintendo cannon? Geez. Just own it. You have to feature your new games. Absolutely. And you need to have something at the end that nobody's seen before that's crazy. And Mario Maker fit that perfectly.
That was perfect. I mean, it fit the whole wizard moment. This is something you've kind of never seen before. It really worked for them.
It's literally Mario.
Yeah.
And the thing is, that demo, it wasn't even a demo, just that constant barrage of chaos the players are being confronted with. And we're trying to solve the level in our heads while they're trying to solve it on a stage in front of 10,000 people.
Yeah.
You kind of wonder what's in those doors, and then, oh my God, there's three Bowsers on top of each other. Nope.
Yeah. Or when he got to the final boss, and it was the homing cannon riding on top of a Bowser.
Yeah, stacked six different things on top of each other.
Yeah, it's just you can't jump over him, so you now have to kill him with the fire flower, and he's also spitting fire flowers at you. Good luck.
Yeah.
There is no way in the Nintendo Digital Event they could have conveyed that game better than getting to see people playing that game just constantly being barraged with unimaginable chaos.
Yeah,
and I almost wonder if that whole direct was, or that whole thing was created to show that game.
Really? I mean, it was perfect for it. You're right. I don't think they could have done that better than they did in that context.
Oh, it was fun. I thought it was going to be stupid, and I'm glad I watched it. It was a fun time. There were definitely parts that dragged. I don't ever want to see Ego Raptor on a Nintendo stage ever again. Don't want to see small children up there. But it was overall, I think the takeaway was a very positive experience. And it let them sort of dominate all of Sunday up until the Bethesda thing. Because they started the morning with Smash. They ended they introduced the evening with this Nintendo World Championship. And then ultimately they rolled into Bethesda's stuff. and most of Bethesda stuff had leaked, so they got to kind of ride that for a little while. So I mean, that was good for them. That was good PR.
Yeah, I think that worked out very well for Nintendo. I don't think I don't think it could have gone better from their perspective.
I was going to say, I wonder if next year it'll be something like Pokken Fighters. That's a demonstration.
That would be there, I imagine. I don't know.
That would be a good candidate for the final, especially if it's never been shown in the West before. Like if that's the intro, because that game just looks ridiculous. And I think that's a big part. I think looking silly is a big part of it, because you want the audience laughing and engaged and amped up by what's happening. So I think that would be a good candidate. That's a good pull. So let's move to today, this morning specifically. And Donald, I mean, you wrote the news article.
Yeah. So I had kind of a suspicion this was going to come, but I didn't expect it to be waiting for me when I woke up this morning. Nintendo and 9 indie developers have teamed up to release demos of their games on the eShop.
They're unreleased games.
Yeah, they're not out yet. And they're only available from now until eShop update time on Monday, this coming Monday. And if you download any of those demos when they come out, you get 15% off the cost of the game.
Yep. So the games are Mutant Muds Super Challenge by Renegade Kid. This is
JP's department.
Yes, yep. I am a huge fan of the original game, and I've downloaded all the demos. That's definitely the first one I'm going to play.
What? I would assume this is because Treasuronauts is never coming out.
Yeah, well, it's on the back burner at least. The really back burner.
Yeah, the off burner.
Yeah.
Extreme Exorcism by Ripstone.
It's a platformer where every enemy you kill comes back doubled as you try to escape a level.
Oh, that's fun. Formate, FORMA.8, which is a really hyper stylized sort of adventure game where you're a probe stuck on an alien planet. You get to sort of explore that world. Freedom Planet by Galaxy Trail, which is like a weird Sonic Starfy homage.
I tried this demo earlier.
Excuse me.
And I know it's early and I'm probably falling for the hype a little bit too much, but if Shovel Knight was the platonic ideal of an NES game and Box Boy was for the Game Boy, this is the platonic ideal of a Genesis game.
So right. It's terrible. What you're telling me.
Very colorful.
Very colorful.
Very synthy music.
Very fast moving, and you can play it as much of a. You can engage with the you know what friends, or you can turn all that off and just play it like a straight running game. Except speed isn't as required as it would be in a Sonic game.
I don't know if we knew it was coming to Wii U before this thing.
I believe it was. We did, but we got a release date for it today. I think it's August 3rd.
Yeah. And then we have Lovely Planet by Tiny Build and Quick Tequila, which, sweet. I don't know anything about this one, so help me out here.
It's some sort of... instead of the indie puzzle platformer with unique art style, it's the indie first-person shooter with unique art style. I still haven't gotten around to this one, unfortunately.
All right, sure. Then we have Rive by Two Tribes, which is from what I've seen, it's a shooter.
Yeah,
it's a shump, right?
I believe. So. Let me just double check here. These
are 9 games, so I apologize for us not being super prepared on it. We all had jobs and stuff to do, so like we come in and we're like, oh hey, here's 9 games you need to know about right now. You're like, oh okay, sure, I'll do that.
Yeah, this is it's a combination of shooter and platformer, and there's some hacking in there too for fun.
The metal wrecking robot hacking shooter. That's an interesting way of describing a game. Then we have Runbo, I don't know that we've ever talked about it on any of our podcasts, but I mean we've known about it for a little while. It's a platform racing game. It's basically a party game where you're just racing your friends to clear a platforming stage.
Yeah, and and 13AM actually took the opportunity today to announce that, oh, by the way, this also has online play.
That's cool.
So if you don't have 9 friends, you can get together. Although, yeah, this game kind of has a special place in my heart because they're Canadian developers, and I kind of used them in one of my mock E3 predictions for our prediction contest on the website, which is now closed. So there is a scenario in which the Fire Emblem release date gets revealed when Neil beats Reggie at Runbow.
Well, that's, yeah, I mean, that's how it's going to go down, I'm sure.
That's, I mean, you know, pencil that in.
Yeah. Then we have Soul Axiom by Wales Interactive, which is kind of a first-person adventure game, if I recall correctly.
Yeah, it's sort
kind
of a
thriller exploration puzzle solving.
Right.
Yeah, I stole that from their website. Thriller exploration puzzle solving. Scratch it down, though.
I don't feel bad. I got the press release up.
There we go. And we have Typo Man, which is... Looks a little bit like Limbo, but it's more of a platformer with words and letters everywhere.
Yeah, Limbo with spelling.
Yeah, it's a weird game. It's a very, like, all of these games, with maybe the exception of Freedom Planet, are kind of out there. Mutant Muds is
I mean, it's more of something we've had before, which was a somewhat traditional game, so that's not that far out.
Yeah, but all the rest are pretty unique offerings.
Which is nice for something like this, especially if you're going to have these, you know, demos. That's a good thing to get out there. I was just impressed by this because, I mean, I'm someone who goes back and listens to old RFNs and whatnot, and it's the idea of releasing demos on the eShop only during E3 is something that's been predicted and whatnot on shows year before, and so it's nice to see them actually do it, even though it's just, you know, indie things.
And we didn't this year, which is why it happened.
That's why it goes there.
So if you're really looking forward to Metroid Prime 3 or 4, guess what? We didn't predict that this year either because we finally gave up.
I believe I predicted it on another show and I tried to invoke the spirit of RFN. So.
Oh, so you just ruined everything then. I want you to be proud of what you've done because I kind of am. So is there anything else we want to talk about? I mean, like, I'm super excited that they did this. It didn't have to do it. I'm glad to see them, you know, on the heels of the Mega... The Humble Bundle, sorry. On the heels of the Humble Bundle, going and sort of putting this stuff out there and really engaging with independent developers who are making, you know, really kind of cool things on their platform. Yeah. All right, you know, we give the eShop a lot of shit. I mean, a lot of shit for the stuff.
I mean,
that comes
a lot of what's there does deserve that shit.
Yeah. Oh no, it definitely. I mean, we're not picking on the Stonecutter because we're intimidated by how good it is. But it's really good that Nintendo understands this and has said, okay, these are games that we really care about, we think are really good, and we're going to promote them and make sure that people are aware they're there, and then make sure that people at home who are tuned into E3 super hard right now have something to play.
Yeah.
Because that's sort of the way a lot of these announcements have gone. Is that, hey, we have this thing, and we're going to bypass the press by getting it to you right now.
Yeah, Mutant Muds. Jeff Keighley got to hang out with Jules Washam today and play some Mutant Muds. So that is some really big exposure for that game.
Yeah. Well, I just think, I mean, you know, I think it's clear from the press conferences we saw today, there isn't much coming to Wii U from the big third party. So whatever Nintendo can do to foster indie development is good for the platform, because they're pretty much all you got left.
Hey, that's not fair, because we had a big announcement at Ubisoft's press event today.
Just Dance, yes.
Just Dance 2016 with the world's first subscription dance service.
Finally.
Yeah, I mean, the thing you were clamoring for, now you could pay Ubisoft an annual fee to get your new music for Just Dance versus the annual fee you were paying to get a new disc of Just Dance.
It's like Call of Duty, the subscription, except for Just Dance.
Call of the Dance.
Yeah. I think the only other thing that really would be relevant to Nintendo fans today is the fact that Rare's not only alive, but they're putting out about 15 Nintendo platform games on Nintendo platforms on a disc, along with 15 other Rare games, and selling it on the Xbox One.
That's true. So yeah, we didn't talk about that, but Microsoft remembered that why they bought Rareware. Which is nice. They unscrewed up the logo, which was also nice of them after they made it super ugly.
Rare has officially gone through their purgatory. They're not making Avatars anymore. They're not making Kinect sports.
I mean, they probably are, but they're also making other stuff now.
Yeah. They had the collection, but not just that. They have an original Rare pirate-type game thing that... it's an original game from Rare that kind of looks good, and we haven't seen one of those in a while.
Yeah, I'm... I'm going to withhold judgment on the MMO, but...
Oh, certainly.
Like the Rare Review. It was a review or rewind?
Rare Replay.
Rare Replay. I got it wrong twice. Rare Replay is a $30, 30-game collection. And now, they're not being remade. They're just straight porting them over.
Emulators for most of them. Yeah.
But still, like, that's... Some of those games are, like, some of the seminal games of my childhood.
Really? I'm excited for this because I didn't play a lot of those on the N64. I never got to play Blast Corps or Jet Force Gemini, and I'm, you know, interested in this. You know, I'm kind
Blast Corps, the Banjos, Jet Force Gemini, even some of their older stuff is just really...
Perfect Dark. I'm always in the mood for some Perfect Dark.
I mean, they got Cobra Triangle and the RC Pro-Am games on there.
They do. Oh, God, Cobra. Oh, Cobra Triangle.
It's a pretty complete collection. I mean, really, they hit most of their stuff there.
It's everything that they could put in there that Nintendo didn't own the rights to, ultimately. And that does mean a lot of their games that you would want aren't in there, but they can't be, because Nintendo owns them. You're not going to get a Donkey Kong Country in there. You're not going to get, or in the case, you're not going to get, like, 007 Goldeneye. But, like, Digger T-Rock's in there. It's like, really? What?
Snake Rattle and Roll is in there.
Yeah, it is.
Battletoads, you can finally go back and play the game that you remember fondly because you haven't played it in a long time.
And then realize it's actually terrible.
The pause music is worth a buck.
Yeah, like this is a ridiculous collection. And it's even got their more recent stuff. I mean,
Nuts and Bolts, and I mean nobody wants to play Perfect Dark Zero, but it's in there.
It's a dollar. Who cares? It's a dollar. Like, you'll manage. It's got Grabbed by the Ghoulies. You're not waiting for that, but it's a dollar. Who cares? Cameo. Again, it's a dollar. Viva Pinata. That's worth a dollar. It's easily worth a dollar.
That game is the greatest collection of googly eyes ever pressed to disk.
There we go. Jetpack Refueled. That's definitely worth a dollar. Like, this is an unbelievable collection. They should have
the pre-order bonus at GameStop. If you pre-order the game, you get a giant, like a little box of just stick-on googly eyes.
They should just glue them straight to your face. Like to me, this is such a get good. This is Microsoft realizing, man, we have just pissed in the face of our consumers for the last 2 years, and we're trying to do all these get goods. You know, with the Xbox One, you know, we've basically got rid of everybody who had all these terrible ideas. Like, hey, remember when we said you wouldn't own your games? We're sorry about that. But this is sort of like going back to when they bought Rare levels of get good. Like, hey.
Yeah, they remembered why they bought Rare. They didn't buy Rare to make avatars. They bought Rare for stuff like this.
I hope they didn't. I hope that's not why they bought Rare. And it's fantastic that people are going to get to play Gunfright. Like, should you play Gunfright? No, but you should
definitely
play...
You're buying the thing anyway. You stick it in there
for
5 minutes.
You should definitely play Gunfright. Because it's special. It's a special game. Like, there's... I'm so pleased. Like, this, the Xbox One is such an unappealing console to me, but, like, stuff like this, I'm like, ah. Oh.
Honestly, I mean, really, that and a bunch of other things Microsoft
Killer Instinct
did
Gold.
Today. I mean, really, I Microsoft basically convinced me to buy an Xbox One today, so, good job to them.
Yeah, it was cool. I'm always glad to see Rare doing well. Like, it's because so much of my history, and I imagine a lot of people listening to the show is tied up in that company.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they were that relationship was really special.
Yeah,
and it's a shame that it ended the way it did, but I understand why Nintendo had to let it go, because it was getting harder and harder to get a game out of them. And at some point,
really,
you look at
what they've done since then up till this point. I think it's clear Nintendo made the right call. But yeah. I mean, I'm glad to see them getting on their feet and not, you know, making kind of, you know, boring stuff anymore. It seems like they're trying to return to what they used to be, and I hope they succeed to some degree.
Yep. Well, I guess we could talk about it real briefly if you want to talk about former Nintendo second party people. The Armature game.
Oh yes. They actually get to make an original game now.
Yeah. I'm not sure how I feel about that. So they build it as from Keiji Inafune and the makers of Metroid Prime, which is kind of unfair because, like, only a handful of people left the company to go to Armature.
A lot of high-level people. Some of the people high up this is common in the industry and anything. You see this happen all the time. You point to, like, four guys, like, oh, these guys made that game.
Yeah, so I'm curious about this one. They didn't show any... What was it? I'm trying to remember what it's called.
Recore, I think.
Recore, yeah. Which is a terrible name. They didn't show any gameplay. It was basically, again, Xbox One exclusive. It was basically this girl and her robot dog running through fighting stuff, and then ultimately the robot dog blew itself up, and she put the core inside a different robot that was sitting on the ground, and it came to life. We have no idea what kind of game this is, how it's going to play, even what genre it's in.
And we probably won't see it again for a year and a half.
Probably not.
Probably.
Or a year at the
most.
Well,
a year. It'll be at E3 next year.
Well, actually, no. Wasn't it supposed to be spring 2016?
Well, it's supposed to be spring.
Yeah. Now.
Yes. I'm just saying, I mean, Scalebound was supposed to be 2016, and we're not going to see it till Gamescom, so.
I know. I would say that there's, I would think we'll probably see it again this year. Maybe at Gamescom. I mean, ultimately, I don't know. It'd be really sad if Microsoft said, no, we're not going to show this game. We're never going to show you gameplay of this game.
It looks really interesting and original. I mean, from the little we've seen, I'm definitely excited to see more.
Trailer.
Yeah.
Yes. So I guess right before that's kind of all we had news-wise. I want to go ahead and just, since we've all probably done predictions in some form or another at this point, I'd rather do this. What's one thing that if Nintendo showed it, you'd just completely lose your mind? Because we are now 15 hours away. From their show starting.
Yes,
15 hours away.
It's 9 p.m. Eastern now.
Yeah.
Print on demand for Amiibo or...
Just get off my podcast.
Or failing that...
Get off my plane.
Yeah. If we can't get that, which we won't, how about the only version of Fire Emblem that's getting localized is the special edition that has both games in it?
I could see that. That's really what blew your mind, that they said, no, we're not gonna screw two versions.
I already most of the stuff that I would really get hyped for, I've already pre-ordered in the last couple of years. So,
all right, fair enough. JP?
Really, what I'm interested to see is Star Fox. I want to see what they do with it. I mean, it's been so long since we've gotten anything, and especially since we've gotten something, you know, that's actually good. I'm excited and apprehensive to see what's going to happen.
So are you in the throngs who want Star Fox 64 too?
Yeah, I mean, because that's the good one. That's the one game in the series you can really point to and say, that was really good. And I don't want exactly that, but I want a game that's, like, kind of inspired by that. Not, you know, I want on-rails levels. I want, you know that. And I don't know. We'll see what we get. I'm just kind of... hope it's good at all. I think if you want something to really blow my mind, online co-op.
There you go.
Okay. Not gonna happen, but you know.
Well, I mean they've been way less hesitant about making their games online lately.
That's
so
true. They've been they've been better. I'm still
one
not
of you's
expecting
got to be Falco. One of you's got to be Slippy though. Yeah. Nobody gets to be Falco. He's too cool for school. So somebody's got
to
be Slippy.
Hey, anything can happen at this point. Sony actually managed to start a press conference on time.
Oh God.
How is that even possible? This is the end times.
Well, in that case, you better wrap this up. So before we go, I want to go ahead and you probably noticed that we've got some different music at the start of the show. We've decided that because we're going to be putting all our podcasts on the RFN feed, it's really not appropriate for us to use the RFN music. We're going to use something to sort of differentiate it. So this music actually came to us. It was composed by a listener named Alex Dyke. We'll have a link to his SoundCloud account in the credits for this episode. So on that... JP, Donald, I want to thank you for joining me today.
Thank you.
It's a pleasure.
And we will be back with more podcasts. We have a Nintendo News Report as soon as we can, after the event tomorrow. Donald will be there. I might be there. I'm hoping to be. We'll be joined by Mr. Alex Kalafi and potentially others. And then we will be doing additional podcasts throughout the week. The away team will start doing podcasts tomorrow evening, most likely. They'll also be doing video streaming. So you can make sure to get your questions in. Actually, I believe, JP, you'll be watching the Twitter account to get questions,
yes,
correct?
Yes, I will be doing a lot of stuff on the Twitter account. Make sure to follow @Nintendo_NWR. And if you have a question that you would like answered by our team at E3, you've got Kim and Becky doing a video show every day at E3. And if you have a question you'd like them to answer, send it to us with the #AskNWR.
Yep, and the sooner you get it to us, the easier it is for us to find
the
answer.
Right, yeah, it gives us more time.
And be on the lookout for when I hijack that Twitter account and go nuts on it. That will happen. That at some point, I'll be about a third of the way through editing my 33rd news article and be like, you know what, just forget it. Let's go crazy.
We're going to get weird.
Yeah, things. It's E3.
This is,
This is when it happens.
This is the magic.
This is the magic time. Gentlemen, go get some rest. We've got some work. As the home team, we've got some work to do tomorrow morning. Yep. All right.
Later.
See ya.